Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dr. Eileen Marty, I want to ask you a question. If I was in your class there at Florida International University and said this, would I get a passing grade? All right, here it is. If you get the flu you had a flu shot, it just means that you got one of the strains the shot doesn't work against. It's not like the COVID shot, which if you get COVID lessens the severity of your illness. Do I pass or flunk?
Well, it's not quite so binary because that's more true than false. So I would still give you a passing grade, but there are confounding factors, right? Such as underlying conditions, whether or not the flu vaccine was administered properly, right? I mean, there's confounding factors that go into it. But yes, that's more true than false. So you pass.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Is there a flu test that you can take at home like COVID?
So we have rapid influenza tests with the same concept of looking for antigen, so protein components, in fact, nuclear proteins of influenza. And we have quite a few of them. Most of them, traditionally, these rapid influenza diagnostic tests, that's what they're called, RIDTs, have achieved only a 50 to 70% accuracy in terms of sensitivity, right? And now the FDA recently required that all these influenza RDTs get at least 80% or higher sensitivity when compared to using things like PCR, so RT-PCR. Because of that, we do use them in the offices, but since there's such a high rate of false negative outcomes. In other words, you really do have influenza, but your test result is negative. They're not available widely commercially for home use. So they are, you know, there's sort of an algorithm that we use, and we also have to interpret it in terms of how much influenza there is out there. So in situations where the amount of influenza circulating is very high or very low, the interpretation of the results can be off. You can either get false positives or false negatives, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we take into consideration the symptoms of the individual, whether they match the classic symptoms of flu versus a cold, and whether or not they've been in an area where there's a lot of influenza going around, and then we determine what the validity is of these tests. But pretty much, like if you were to come to my office with classical symptoms of flu, I might give you one of these rapid influenza diagnostic tests, but I'll get a backup sample and send it to a lab that's going to do a NAT test, a nuclear amplification test, like an RT-PCR, so that I'm sure of what the results are. But of course, if, for example, there's a lot of influenza circulating, you have the classic symptoms, and you're positive, the other thing is timing, right? So you want to collect it within 4 days of initiating your symptoms. And if you have, then I'm going to go ahead and give you something like Tamiflu. We have a number of different antivirals now that work very well against influenza. And just like Paxlovid for SARS-CoV-2, you'll want to give it as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. And if you ever open up an office in Chicago, I'd be in there every day complaining about something. So you may want to stay there in Florida and be safe from me. If you really get whacked by COVID, does that mean you'll be hit hard by the flu too?
So there's some data that is suggesting that if you've had COVID-19, you may have some residual damage to your respiratory symptoms. And we are seeing that a certain percentage of the cases that had that had COVID and then got either RSV or flu are doing worse than the individuals who've never had COVID and then get RSV or influenza. But we're still trying to figure out exactly what's going on there and why that may be true. But overall, we're doing a lot more of these types of tests where we're simultaneously testing for a lot of different respiratory viruses. And so because of that, we're picking up on the reality that it's really not as uncommon as we thought for individuals to have more than one respiratory virus causing their respiratory symptoms.
I was reading the other day about biologists who are kind of scrambling to keep up with the evolutionary turns of Omicron, and it sounds like this variant has exploded into hundreds of mutations, so it's kind of scary when you read that. What does that mean going forward, and what does that mean as far as vaccines that will be effective?
Yeah, those are incredibly important questions. The thing about the vaccines is very different than, for example, with a monoclonal antibody. So if you get a vaccine, you're going to be making a variety of populations of cells that are reacting to slightly different aspects of the spike, right? And so some of those variations in the spike are conserved, and therefore when your body sees a new version of the virus, it may still have that conserved portion of the spike that you have antibodies to, whereas other portions of the spike and other parts of the virus can have mutations that you no longer have a reaction to, right? So it's sort of a mixed bag. You're still better off if you're vaccinated because you made a huge set of memory B cells that are more responsive and faster at responding to a new attack than if you were not vaccinated. And that's also, by the way, true of having had COVID. You also made a variety of memory B cells that are ready to confront the next variant, even if imperfectly, even if not as well as if you were confronted with the exact same variant of SARS-CoV-2. But for monoclonal antibodies, it's very different, and we've just run out of all the monoclonal antibodies. That's a big, big deal that we're dealing with in infectious disease right now, in that we're back to convalescent plasma as a recommendation by the FDA, with the caveat that we have to understand that everybody makes different types and quality of antibodies to having had the infection, right? Mm-hmm. And therefore, the quality of good neutralizing antibodies from person A may not be the same as that from person B. Right? So you really ought to test that convalescent plasma before you give it to somebody else that needs it, because we don't have monoclonal antibodies anymore. But of course, we have all, remdesivir, and we have Paxlovid, depending on the patient, and molnupiravir, et cetera. So we have other ways of managing, but it's really very unfortunate that at the moment, because of the variants that are circulating, we have no monoclonal antibodies that are approved for use.
Professor at Florida International University, Dr. Eileen Marty. I'll stop here while I still have a passing grade, Dr. Marty, and we'll talk to you next week. Be well.